We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're beginning in chapter 4 this morning. And I want to read verses 1 through 5, where Paul says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Well, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." I thought it would be good for us to do a bit of reviewing and even looking a little bit at what we looked at last Sunday. But I wanted to establish the fact that that salvation is by the verb believe, and we live by faith. And we often get those two mixed up. In Galatians 2:16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law alone." And I believe when he's talking about the law in Galatians and other places in the New Testament, there are some places it's referring to the ceremonial law. But primarily we're talking about the moral law. You cannot stand justified in his presence by keeping the moral law alone. But you can't live by faith if you don't keep the moral law. If you're living in sin, you can't live by faith. They just don't mix. But it says, a man is not justified by the works of the law alone. And I put the word alone in there. It's not in the text. This is just to emphasize the fact that you can't be justified by being obedient alone. But by faith of Jesus Christ. Actually, this is by faith from Jesus Christ. This is in the genitive case. It's of or from, and it would be appropriate to say that we get our faith from the Lord Jesus Christ because He is our high priest. He is the one who provides us with the confidence in that which we hope for, Him seeing the evidence that we are believing He sees the evidence in our life that we truly are hoping for that which we cannot see. Okay? I think I got that straightened out. Anyway, let's go on. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith. Even we have believed. This is an aorist tense. We've been saved. This is salvation. That we might be, future tense, justified by faith. You can't live by faith until you're saved. And justification is on the basis of faith. And so therefore, we need to be pleasing God, because that's what faith allows us to do. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We need to be pleasing God, and we do that by faith. And faith is a noun and not a verb. In other words, we're justified by the noun, but we are saved by the verb believe. And not by works of the law alone, for by the works of the law alone shall no flesh be justified. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." What does it mean to be justified? A lot of people associate justification with salvation. But I think that we need to read Romans 8:33 to see what justification is really means. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Justification has to do with whether or not you are chargeable or not chargeable. And what I mean by chargeable, I mean that you are either, or you're guilty of living in sin, and if you are, you're chargeable. And if you are cleansed through the blood of Christ, then you are not chargeable. In other words, there's nothing being held against you. when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And now we're talking about salvation. We're just talking about approval. We're talking about rewards. In fact, we read in here, is the reward to be reckoned on the basis of grace? Absolutely. Not on debt. But let's go on. So justification has to do with whether or not we are chargeable or not. And if we're justified, we are not going to be charged at the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we're reminded that He was delivered for our offenses. He died on the cross for our sins. And He was raised again for our justification. Justification comes through the resurrected Christ. And His crucifixion on the cross was sufficient to save every man, woman, child on the earth. All are sinners, and He died for all. His crucifixion provided for the salvation of all of mankind. Now, our justification is based upon our appropriation of His high priestly office. He is the one who put the shed blood on the mercy seat in the heavenlies. He is our high priest. He is ministering to us what? The cleansing power of the shed blood. And that's why we are justified, because he was raised from the dead and put where we can meet with Him and have our sins cleansed and forgiven. Now, in John 13, before the Last Supper, it says Jesus took a bowl of water and a towel, and He began to wash the feet of the apostles. Now, this was the custom. The host of the house was to provide water and a place to clean their feet. And or not a place, but a water and a towel to clean their feet. And that was not provided. And I think the Lord made sure that didn't happen, because He wanted to teach something to us about cleansing. So in verse 8 of John 13, it says, Peter said unto Him, Thou shalt never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. What this is saying is, if I don't wash what is dirty on you or about you, Peter, you won't rule and reign with Me in My coming kingdom. That's what it means to have no part with Me. It's not talking about getting saved. It's talking about having a part. A part in what? Well, the administration. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And having a part is to be a king, or having a part is to be a lord. The apostles will have a part. They will be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. So what does Simon say? Simon Peter said in verse 9 unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He's a rash extreme, you know. He wants he don't want to miss out on anything. Give me the works. It just reminds me of going through the car wash. I want the works. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth save to wash his feet, not save to wash his. Excuse me. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. In other words, wash that which is unclean. Remember last Sunday we talked about washing what is unclean? That is, through the shed blood. In 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. When I think about walking in the light, even walking in the light, you're going to get dusty feet. And His blood provides cleansing for us when we are walking and we become soiled and we are clean. John 15:3 tells us, you're clean through the Word. And so that's the reason why reading the Scriptures is so important. We are clean through the reading of His Word. In fact, in John 17:17, it says, "Ye are sanctified," or sanctify them. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctifying has to do with setting apart, and through the truth, which is his word, and also cleansing comes through the word as well. Then in 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So I'm just giving you these passages of Scripture to help us to see how we can stand justified in his presence. Justified means that he's not going to call a sin to mind that we have not confessed or we have not dealt with. Now, I realize the fact that there are times when we live and do things that we don't even know are sin. And that's the reason why reading the Scriptures and walking in the light as he in the light, the blood takes care of those sins. He just knows that we just don't have we have a good computer up here, but we just can't access all the data banks. We don't know what's going on all the time. But he is provided for cleansing. He's got an operating system in our life to help us to stand justified even though we don't know all the sins. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." The word "counted" is also can be translated "reckoned." It's also translated "imputed." This is a quotation from an Old Testament scripture. It's quoted from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham's, the righteousness of God was reckoned to Abraham in Genesis 15:6. This is a long time after Abraham was saved. He had already seen the promised land. He had already left his home. And so when Abraham was reckoned righteous, this was because what he believed God told him was true, and that he would deliver. He would make it come to pass. It had to do with his seed. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, from Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe," in the present tense. I want you to see that righteousness, which is of faith, is provided for those who are believing in the present tense. That has to do with being faithful. Justification is for those who are faithful to God. If you're unfaithful to God, you're going to be chargeable. You're going to be a slothful, wicked servant. "You weren't faithful to me. I told you to go and trade with this talent, and you didn't do it." In the parable of the talents. And so, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. I want you to tie the two of those together. And I also want you to tie in the word "believe" in the present tense with faith. I personally believe that "believe" in the present tense, particularly participles, and the word "faith" are equivalent. They go together. You can see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whosoever believeth," present tense, present active participle. And when it's in the present tense, that is not an event. Okay? The present tense is not an event. It's an ongoing thing. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, this is not salvation. This is talking about those who have been begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who've been begotten again by the Father. And we're believing that Jesus is the Christ. Now, that's not the way to get saved. We believe in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And we believe that Jesus is the Christ, who is the Messiah. And he is also our high priest. And that's affirmed in chapter 5 in verses 4 and 5. For 1 John 5, verse 4. whosoever, and it could be, excuse me, whatsoever, I would better translate that, whosoever. We're not what's, we're who's. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And that is in the present tense, present active. And so therefore, that is not an event either. In other words, I have not overcome the world. I am doing that every day by refusing to be molded into their mold, into their being conformed to their image. So, he that is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is what overcomes the world. And we also believe, in verse 5, that who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? Present tense. Faith and belief in the present tense are equivalent. They're the same. Okay? And believe in the present tense is also not an event. It's an ongoing thing. It has to do with faithfulness on our part. And we're believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and of course He is our High Priest, and He is not our sin offering. The Son of God was not our sin offering. The Lamb was the sin offering. The Son of God was the one who was promoted into a position of a High Priest, and you find that in Hebrews chapter 5. Now, when we're talking about Abraham believing God and it being reckoned to him for righteousness, we need to also bring in some verses out of James. In James chapter 2, verse 23, we see, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." If you're a friend of the world, you're the what of God? You're the enemy of God. Abraham was not a friend of the world, and he therefore was a friend of God. And I wanted to read this verse so that you can see that James 2 is talking about the righteousness that was imputed unto Abraham because Abraham believed God. By the way, the word believed is in the aorist tense. But what that simply is saying is this. This is not a salvation verse. This is talking about Abraham and his walk with the Lord. Abraham had to start believing somewhere in the aorist tense, and it turned into the present tense. That's the key. And you can tell that it was not salvation because of when it happened. It happened when Abraham was already in the land. He had already separated himself from Lot, and he was just walking and having fellowship with the Lord in Genesis chapter 15. Now, in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, this shows you how these two go together, faith and works. There's a lot of people that struggle with the book of James. They think it's an epistle of straw. One of the church so-called fathers called the book of James an epistle of straw because he couldn't reconcile faith with works because he was trying to misapply the word faith. He was trying to make faith the element of getting saved. And you don't get saved by faith. You live by faith. Okay, let's go on. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled." And you've got to use real long words so that they really sound holy. That fills them up better. Anyway. "Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body." And this is the key. What is the profit? Did that guy get any profit? Did that brother or sister who's hungry and naked and cold, was it profitable to hear you say all these wonderful words of be warmed, be filled, have peace? No. It's a waste. No profit. So when you read verse 17 of James 2, it says, "Even so," just like it wasn't profitable for a hungry, naked brother, Faith without works is the same thing. It's no profit. Even so, faith alone does not profit you if it hath not works. In other words, you have to have faith and works together. They go together. And by the way, the word works is plural. It's deeds. And what it says, if faith is alone and there's no works provided there, there's no response to that need of pleasing God, then faith is dead or idle or barren or unfruitful. A apple tree that doesn't bear apples, it better bear good-looking flowers. Otherwise, we'll just cut the thing down. It's not doing any good. Apple trees aren't tall enough to get any shade out of, and they're... Anyway, the point is this. Bearing fruit, being fruitful. Now, verse 18, it says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith alone. And that expression is very popular today. Faith alone, faith alone, faith alone. If faith is alone, it's unprofitable. He says, I have works. You say, if a man say unto you, thou hast faith, and I have works alone, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith is the produces substance to things that we're hoping for, and it also should produce evidence. And you know what that evidence is? It's works. It's responding to what faith wants us to do to please God. Now, in James 2:20, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead or idle?" In other words, there are those who would discredit works, because this word "without" is also translated "in addition to." It's the same word we have studied before. He says, "Are you so vain to say that faith without works is dead or idle?" That's vain to say that, because if you say that faith and works go together, that is not idle, because faith becomes fruitful and profitable. And a vain man says that you can have faith alone and no works. And I think that's what this verse is saying, okay? So, trying to discredit works. Abraham worked. In James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You know when he did that? He did that in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Boy, that's a long time after he left the Ur of the Chaldees. His justification came when he offered Isaac. Genesis 22:9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham was justified when he offered his son Isaac. He didn't offer him literally, but God knew he offered him in his heart. And that's all he needed to see. Isn't that something that there are sometimes we can just give up things in our heart that later on we don't have to give up anyway? Abraham didn't have to give up his son. God provided him. But he knew that God would raise him up from the dead because he was his seed. And Abraham knew that. And he believed that God would take care of anything that he allowed him to do at that altar. Now, Abraham had faith, and I want to just emphasize that fact in Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. I want you to see that. His offering up of Isaac was an act of confidence in his God. By faith, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. If Abraham had have killed or stabbed Isaac with that knife, I don't know how long it would take the Lord to raise him up, but Abraham would just sit down and wait for God to raise him up. That's all there would be to it, because you know what? He told those that were with him, his servants, he says, I and my son go there to worship, and we will come back shortly. We. Not me. We. So Abraham, by faith, offered Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead if he allowed him to sacrifice him. And then in James chapter 2, verse 24, we see, he confirms the fact that we see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The works that Abraham did was he was obedient to what God told him to do. And that's what God wants us to do as well. Then in James 2:25 we see Rahab the harlot. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? That's not the plan of salvation. Receiving messengers and sending them out another way. Receiving the spies. In fact, in Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab was justified by faith. And that's works, which he did. Even Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, in Psalms 106, when then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment on the Moabites and the Israelites that were not doing things they shouldn't have been doing, carnal relationships. And he went into the tent, took a spear, and ran them through both at the same time. Didn't take two shots, just took one. You know what? She was justified by doing, or he was justified in doing that. It says that in Psalms 106, 30 and 31. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgments so that the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. The word counted is also the word reckoned in the Septuagint. It was reckoned to him for righteousness because he did that act. Okay? So, what are we exhorted to do? And I want to leave this with you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and also in James 1:12. 2 Timothy 2:15, it's unfortunately they translated the word diligence to study. And I guess that's a good word to use to describe what you have to do if you're going to study. You got to be diligent to crack the books, right? If you're going to study to pass the test, you got to be diligent studying. I was talking to someone who practiced what I did when I was in school. I wasn't diligent until the night before. You know what that means? I was cramming the night before when I should have been diligent all along. But this word here in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to show or present yourself approved. If you're approved, you're not chargeable unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And rightly dividing means it's not an event. You don't do it once. You just keep right on rightly dividing the word. Continue to do it. And you're going to stand in His presence and hear, well done. Not wicked and slothful servant. Well done. That's what we want to hear. And so therefore we can say, or we can believe, that when James tells us that a man is blessed that endureth testings and trials, because the testings and trials that come in our life want to cause us to quit, to stop being faithful, to stop living by faith, stop believing in the present tense. Blessed is the man that endureth testings and trials, For when he is approved, the word tried is the word, should be translated approved. When he is approved, he'll be unchargeable. He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I'm here to say that God is offering to us rewards, an inheritance beyond description or imagination. If we'll just simply believe His words, believe His word, and live by them. May the Lord help us to do that. Father, we just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, and help us, Lord, to stand approved in Your presence and to hear well done and not be charged and not be ashamed. Thank You again for Your faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.